scripture. From Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any other powers, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I guess spring is always one of my favorite times of the year because you see things coming back to life and it's time to mow the grass again. Something that I enjoy, interestingly enough. And where Jan and I live, my wife and I, we live on the corner there, Virginia Avenue. And I can't tell you how many people have told her and me, I saw you mowing the grass. So I guess that's the activity that most people associate me with is mowing the grass. But I do enjoy it. And I do it getting out and doing exercise and that kind of thing. So let's have a word of prayer and then we will begin. Lord, help us each day to grow in knowledge of you and help us to know that when those times do come, when we're disappointed and things don't go our way, that we're still loved by you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wonder if you could turn in your hymnals now to the hymn we just sang, 488. Just as I am. This hymn has been around the world. And you see the text was written by Charlotte Elliott. And then it was put to music, you see that by Mr. Bradbury. Now the book, the hymnal doesn't say this, but this was in a series of hymns called A Book for Invalids. A Hymn Book for Invalids is what it was called originally. Now Charlotte Elliott was a woman that lived in the 19th century. And she struggled a lot with being a sinful person. She felt unworthy of God's grace. And she felt she was never good enough to measure up to what God wanted her to be. And she felt depressed and angry as a teenager and she got into her 30s. But then at age 30, she suffered a debilitating illness that left her in bed for the next 50 years of her life. Now, you don't know what the diagnosis was. It probably may have been polio. Probably was. But whatever it was, she remained in bed and would get out of bed on the help of her family. So one day a minister came to see her, Cesar Miller. And he came and he asked her if she had peace with God. And she got very angry at this question and resented it that he would dare ask her something like this. But then he came back later and apologized. But then she says, you know, I want to give my life to Christ, but I need to feel cleaned up. I need to feel like I'm a better individual. His response to her was, well, just come as you are. God doesn't care what you look like or what your past sins have been. But rather, just come as you are. So with that, she dedicated her life. And then 12 years later, she began to pen out a poem. And she called it Just As I Am, or As I Am, as it's sometimes called. And then a few years later, it was put to music by William Bradley. And in 1849, the hymn was finally published in this book called A Hymn Book for Invalids. But since that, this hymn has gone around the world. Billy Graham, if you remember him, I'm sure we all do, used this hymn as the altar call. And I think Franklin Graham, his son, has continued that tradition. Now, Charlotte Elliott felt alone. She felt angry. She felt destitute. She felt like she would never measure up. But then when she became an invalid, when she was there in bed, she began to wrestle with, well, what does God want me to do? And she realized she had this great talent of writing poetry. She began to pen out a song, which we have today, called Just As I Am, or As I Am, as it's sometimes called. Now, Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the passage in chapter 8, is probably one of my favorites, because it talks about nothing being able to separate us from the love of God. Nothing can be able to separate us from the love in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul was writing to a church that it was struggling. It was in Rome, obviously, and had many different kinds of people. Many of the early Christian Jewish people had been thrown out of Italy, and now they were starting to come back after they had lost a considerable amount of property and money. But what Paul's words are, he encourages the entire church, as different and as diverse as it is, that God loves them all. And to remind them the fact that no matter what their difficulties are, no matter what their problems are, no matter how much they're struggling, the love of God is still there for them. So you're going through a hard time, now or in the past. And remember these passages from Romans. Are you feeling ill? Are you not happy after somebody you love has died? Remember the words of Paul, that nothing can be able to separate us. Now see, God gave us his great vehicle of prayer. If you're having struggling, if you're having difficulties, God says, you can pray anytime, anywhere, any place. You see, I don't have office hours. I'm not unavailable at certain times. Or you may want to talk to a counselor. I know I've done that a number of times. When things inside of me just didn't seem right and I was angry and hurt and bitter, I certainly did prayer, but I also felt I needed to do a little more and go to a counselor and talk to them about that. You see, God didn't create a perfect world. Many times, greatness can come out of a tragedy. The seeds of someone's great success will come because of a great difficulty. Charlotte Elliott wrote a great hymn in the midst of a great amount of tragedy in her own life. I doubt seriously if she would have ever written Just As I Am if it hadn't been for her illness, which began her to think about what was needed, what was God wanting me to do. Many former alcoholics, when they become sober and are on the path to sobriety, will look back on their hard times and understand there was a tremendous amount of blessings that were there. They had learned a lot about life that they never would have understood unless they had gone through the tragedies of life, unless they had gone through the difficulties of life. Many self-help groups are based on the fact that I've had a bad experience and I now want to help others. Compassionate friends. Parents that have lost children now can come together and share and talk and be a part and understand what it's like to go through that. And nobody can ever explain that until you've experienced it. So the next time you're going through a hard time, if you're going through a hard time now, ask yourself some questions. What can I learn from this? What lessons are being taught? And how can I grow from this experience? God didn't create a perfect world, but we also can have a tremendous amount of learning that will take place because we're going through a hard time in life. Charlotte Elliott came out of her hard times and wrote a hymn. Can any of you take a bad experience in your life and turn it into good in order to help others, in order to understand that there was great lessons that were being taught, and now it's time to move on and help others? Now I want to close with a story about a skinny freshman in college. And he went in to see his guidance counselor, who was also his English teacher. And he sat there, and they were going to plan out the spring semester, his first semester in college. And his counselor looked at him and said, "Have you ever thought about joining the Army or getting married?" And he was kind of curious about that question, and he said, "Well, no." So he looked down in the pile of papers and handed him his last essay. It had D- on it. said, I don't think you can do this. I don't think you have what it takes to finish college. And with that, he was very upset, and he, as he was getting up to leave, his counselor said, well, I hope I haven't hurt you, because I'm your friend. And he didn't pay much attention to that, so he sat down, he went out of the office, and went across campus, and there was like a little window well there by the library. And he sat there, and he prayed hard about this, about what he was going to do. Part of him said that this guy did have a point, because college was real hard for him. And he struggled a lot. But then another part of him said, well, you have the ability to do this. Hang in there. And don't give up. Continue on. And because he hadn't done well in this class, he had to take summer school. And he went in again. And the same counselor told him, he said, well, this guy you're getting this time is real tough. He says, you pull the kind of nonsense you tried on me, he'll fail you flat. So he said, well, I'm going to sign up anyway. So he did. And he worked construction during the day. And then at night, three nights a week, he went into this class. And the guy's name was Bill Ramsey. And he came in the first day, and he wrote his name on the board, Ramsey. And then he turned to us, and he said, I'm going to get the best I can out of each one of you. I'm going to pull it out of you. And you're going to become good students. And you'll remember me for the rest of your life. So then he made the first assignment. And the young boy went home after he worked construction during the day and began to work on this essay. And he turned it in, and he was going down looking at the papers. And he came to this one essay, and he said, called his name, and he said, who'd you have for English 101? And the young boy responded. He said, well, you got yourself an A here. This is a well-done piece of work. And so he went through there the next 13 weeks during the summer. And he finished up with a very good grade from that class. Now that young man, as you probably guessed, was me. Many years ago. And there's an old expression that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And this teacher appeared at the right time, in the right moment, in the right circumstances. And when I finished that class, I was able to finish college and even go on to graduate school. God's love was there for me at all times and in all circumstances. And the part of me that said that I could do this was probably God's love. God's encouragement, saying, if you want to do this, you have the ability to carry on and to do this. And so I took that class, and life completely changed for me. Now, I saw Bill Ramsey a few times during the years. And I would greet him very warmly. And I think he had an idea of what he had done for me. And this, of course, when somebody plants a seed inside of that to you, the admonition is now go and help others who are struggling, others who are having difficulties. Try to help them become better people, better Christians. Paul's words are very true. Let me read them again to you. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither in height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the God we have, the God of love, the God of compassion, the God of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We get to stand in hymn 489. Stand together and sing.